Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show as we start a new week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com or visit them at their office on Market Street in Sunbury. Steve Jones coming up soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And with today's show, we thought we were going to be starting Super Bowl week with a high note, but unfortunately, we start today's show on a somber note, and it's going to be all dedicated today to the passing of NBA legend Kobe Bryant, who died yesterday in the helicopter crash that killed nine in Southern California. We have lots of guests coming up here today to talk about that. We'll get into that in a second. But we want to hear from you, too, 1-800-795-9565 on your thoughts on the news, the what might be Kobe's legacy to you. Anything stand out to you personally from hearing this news? And I'll just go and share what I have here. And I don't think this is something that nobody, I think, has even referenced to yet. I read a story about him last night, dating back to when he had the unfortunate sexual assault allegations come out against him in 2003. And he said when he was trying to find himself and kind of overcome those allegations, he turned to a Catholic priest, and it kind of helped him work through those troublesome times for him, with himself personally, then with his family. Then, of course, he was able to reconcile and keep his marriage alive with Vanessa Bryant, his wife, who is now mourning his loss. And the fact that he was able to turn to his faith and then live as a man of Catholic faith like that, I thought was really, really cool, and how he was able to turned a really tough situation into something that has helped him positively and been really a part of his legacy and his message both on and off the court as he finished up his career and as he started to do some wonderful things off the court in his post-career the last couple seasons. So that kind of really stood out to me just as a Catholic myself. But I would hope that anybody at any religious denomination would look at that as something that was pretty positive, how he was able to help himself and kind of turn his life around like that. And then secondly, too, comes as I'm sure many fathers, mothers, parents would, or guardians would think and maybe react to something like this, where you can't imagine the grief, even almost exactly 24 hours now since the news first broke out, and finding out that you're husband and one of your children is now gone like that, and they're just going off to a basketball game with a teammate and a couple other parents. There was a baseball coach and his wife and daughter that were killed in the plane crash. Another wife was killed. There were lots of loved ones killed at one time, and that's the thing of it, Steve, is take away the basketball side of it for Kobe Bryant, you look at this from a human perspective, and there are some people today who lost not one but multiple loved ones in one shot, and that's just never unimaginable to think of.
Well, look at the Altobelli family.
Yeah,
John Altobelli, who was the head baseball coach at Orange Coast College, coached the Brewster Whitecaps in the Cape Cod League. Well, his wife's on board, his daughter, teammate. Right, 13 years old on board. They leave behind a daughter and a son. The son, I believe, is a scout in the Red Sox organization. Well, now those two individuals have lost their sister, their mother, and their father. The helicopter pilot, the assistant coach, the husband grieving on Facebook about losing his wife. Now the other two, I don't think they've identified who the other two people are. I think they've only identified seven so far.
Correct. At least that's what I've seen.
Right. So this is a tragedy on so many different levels, and tragedy is the right word here, that when you look at this tragedy of, at minimum, two 13-year-old girls dying in, because, again, we don't know who the other two people are, so we can't, so we just have to go with what we know, that had their lives in front of them, right? Fathers, husbands. Yeah, it's just the depth of this tragedy is incredible. And they just had made this exact same trip the day before, except this time there was the fog. Kobe Bryant is always been an interesting story. Always has been. He leaves this world a beloved figure. Beloved. Not just by Laker fans. Beloved. Beloved around the world. There are certain people that you can identify by a name. Reggie. Okay. Reggie Jackson. Now, there's certain ones. Shaq, LeBron, Kobe. Now, let's face it. Different names do help in your success. Kobe was named by his parents after a city in Japan. Right? And so people knew who Kobe was. He was fluent in Italian and Spanish. Well, that's in part because his father, whose father was a really good player. His father was a very good player. LaSalle, 10-year NBA career, played in Europe. And because he played in Europe, that's where you pick up Italian. They settle in. He plays at Lower Merion. And everybody knew in his senior year that he was going to petition to go directly to the NBA. That, don't bother recruiting him collegiately, because he's not going to go to college. Even though, let's be fair here, Kobe Bryant's board scores were excellent. Right? But he's going to go to the NBA. So the Charlotte Hornets draft him. Now, he also broke all of Wilt Chamberlain's scoring records in Philadelphia. That's pretty impressive. Chamberlain, of course, went to Overbrook. And so he gets drafted by the Charlotte Hornets, but Jerry West had already worked out ahead of time a deal with the Hornets to send Vlade Divac over, because he really thought Kobe could be something special moving forward. Kobe signs his contract at the age of 17. Oh, wait, he can't completely sign his contract. His parents had to co-sign the contract because he was only 17. Now, he turned 18 just before his first game. But as I pointed out before, when we've had the one-and-done discussion, so let's revisit what I've talked about in the one-and-done discussion. I said a lot of people cite Kobe Bryant. Well, yeah, Kobe Bryant did, but Kobe Bryant had, in terms of his rookie year, he didn't start a game. And he was like, 6-7 points a game. He's like, all right, Okay. Then the second year he was better. And that second year they put him as a starter in the All-Star game. And that didn't go well at all. That was one of those where the NBA, I think, was trying to force it at that point. Like, don't force it. You can't force stuff. Just let it develop at its own pace. But they tried to force it, and he didn't play well. Then he and Shaq go on that run of winning three straight championships. And the one game, the game that really took it like he's Kobe to like, whoa, he is Kobe, was game four of the finals against Indiana. Kobe hurt his ankle early in the game in game two. Missed the rest of that game. Then couldn't play game three. And in game four, he comes back and he's playing well. And then Shaq fouled out and Kobe took the game over. Took it over. And he looked over and went, oh, my goodness. Look at this. Now, the Lakers win the three straight championships with, and we can never leave out Robert Horry, by the way, who always seemed to have the penchant for the big shot, whether it was Houston or the Lakers. But really, it's Shaq and Kobe. And Kobe was that tough, hard edge competitor that had the ability at times to rub people in the locker room the wrong way. Because he's that kind of competitor. He demands absolutely everything out of himself, and he demands that out of you, too. Meanwhile, Shaq is the big, lovable guy. And then comes the 2003 incident, which I think most people know about by now, which he was charged at one point with sexual assault when he was in Colorado in the summer rehabbing his knee, whatever. And he did say it was consensual. Eventually, a few days before the trial, she dropped the charges, and then they settled in a civil suit. They settled. But it also made him, at times, it seemed like after that that he sort of played angry on the court for a couple of years, and he interviewed angry in the locker room. In 2004, if you remember, the Lakers then played the Pistons. And the Lakers have Shaq, they have Kobe, they have Karl Malone, they have Gary Payton. They acquired Malone and Payton because they were trying to get past the Spurs. The Spurs had beaten them in 2003. So they're going to get Malone, Payton, they're going to get past the Spurs. Well, they get to the finals, and there's Detroit. Detroit was not the number one seed in the East. They were the number three seed in the East with Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. And they beat the Lakers in five games. And the Lakers, at this point, were like a soap opera and were a mess. And I said, it's also at this point where Kobe's playing angry, interviewing angry, and there's a lot of things going on. They trade Shaq to Miami. And then, so then the Lakers transition. And then along the way in this Laker transition, Kobe's still the intense competitor. Yeah, Kobe Bryant, by the way, was not just a good defensive player, he's a great defensive player. And, of course, offensively, it speaks for itself. I will say this for Kobe Bryant. He made more bad shots than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like, that's a bad shot. It's good. That's a bad shot. Nah, it's good. To the point where it influenced other people who started taking bad shots because they didn't have his talent. So it didn't look as good. Kobe Bryant did not play in the 2000 or the 2004 Olympics. And if you recall, while Cale Sanderson was winning a gold medal in the Athens Olympics in 2004, the United States Olympic basketball team was not. And they decided to put the young guys out there. They had a young LeBron James, a young Carmelo Anthony to go with an Allen Iverson. And the United States did not play well in Athens at all. And I remember on a show, it's like January 2008, for whatever reason, the topic of the Olympics came up. And I said at that time, I said, the United States wants to recapture gold. They need to start on their pyramid of players with one player and one player only. And the guy said, LeBron James? I said, no, Kobe Bryant. I said, the United States needs Kobe Bryant to play on the Olympic team. I said, they need his kind of leadership. They need his kind of edge. I said, they need his kind of offense. and they need his kind of play at both ends of the floor. Because Bryant had never played in the Olympics. He did not play in 2000 or 2004. So he was there. And the United States went to Beijing, and he's the leader. And Bryant said something really interesting, too, about the Olympic experience. He said it allowed him to practice against guys on an everyday basis for the United States that he played against all the time, and allowed him to learn what their subtle weaknesses were. See, he's always was looking for that edge. They lose to the Celtics in 2008, but he wins the Olympic gold medal. And then in 9, the Lakers won. And remember what the knock was on Kobe Bryant. Remember what the knock was. The knock was he can't win without Shaq. Remember that? He can't win without Shaq. In 2009, he wins. There's no Shaq. And then they repeat in 2010. This guy ruptures his Achilles, still goes to the free throw line, and hits the free throws. Then he does something, he comes back from it. He comes back from it. Remarkable. Only a remarkable athlete could have done that. But what was interesting about Kobe Bryant, as time went, he still had that hard edge on the floor, that hard edge all the time, that hard edge. But as time went, he got softer. And he got softer. And he was great with the media. You know, that anger left him. And he got softer. Didn't mean he didn't play as hard, because he always played hard. Okay. And in the last 15 years, he went from, hey, 3 championships, we love you, Kobe, to them becoming an absolute, the last 15 years, a beloved figure. Beloved. China, they love him. Europe, they love him. U.S., loved him. That big smile, that competitive grit, that fire. And by the way, the transition from 8 to 24, when he got to the Lakers, his number at Lower Merion, he wore 33 at one point at Lower Merion, then he wore 24. When he got to the Lakers, you can't have 33. That was Kareem's number, so that was retired. But he couldn't have 24 because George McLeod, who, by the way, played a game in rec hall against Penn State when he was at Florida State, was already wearing 24, so he took 8. And then, almost halfway through his career, he transitioned. He said, look, 24 is a more, yeah, that was his number. He wanted to transition back to it. Do you realize wearing number 8, he scored 16,777 points, and wearing 24, he scored 16,500, 600 points. It's amazing. I hope that gives you at least, I never was in the same room with him, so I never even remotely knew him. I'm just talking about my observations of watching him over the years. And what's interesting is he actually lost 2 years really with his parents, especially his father. Because after he got married, the parents weren't enamored with it. So they were estranged for a couple of years. Don't waste time in life. Don't waste time. Dennis Chambers from CBS Sports will join us next half hour. Willie Chandler played, by the way, the Misericordia men's basketball coach. Played against Kobe and Lower Merion in the 96 playoffs with Scranton. We'll talk with him as well. Oh, believe me, he had the same attitude in that game as he did against the Pistons. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Day from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Konas in stock starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury Motors. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by Dennis Chambers of CBS Sports. Dennis, thanks a lot for your time in what is a very tough time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. I really appreciate it.
All right, so let's, you know, I think some people don't realize that to the younger generation, what this guy actually really did mean to the younger generation of basketball player in this country. Sometimes so we get older, and you know, but to the younger generation, the depth of how they felt about Kobe is something I think a lot of people are getting a grip on now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a great way to put it. It's as we get through different eras and generations of basketball, and superstars continue to evolve and come up through the game, like the likes of Steph Curry and those guys coming through, like taking the mantle from the Kobes and the Tim Duncans of the world and kind of making the game their own. You see younger kids, you know, they're out wearing Steph Curry jerseys or what have you, or Kevin Durant or some of those other guys, and that younger generation, it's lost on them of Kobe was that guy for you know, the era before him. And you know, I'm 25 years old, so I grew up watching Kobe Bryant night in and night out, and, you know, him being from the city of Philadelphia and obviously, you know, a huge Eagles fan and having that connection to the city and the connection he had on draft night with the likes of Allen Iverson and how they battled throughout their careers, being able to watch that up close, like he influenced and impacted a generation of basketball watchers, you know, fans, teammates, other players across the league, the way that teams do business. I mean, Kobe was, in every sense of the word, an icon in the basketball community. And as we found out over the course of the last 24 hours, you know, he very much was an icon across the rest of the world as well.
Which brings me to the next part. If you're Giannis or you're Luka Doncic, look, these guys were influenced by age, by Kobe, not Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. And you know, LeBron in that respect as well. I mean, we've heard yes. and seen all of these people come out and with their condolences and saying, you know, whether it be a tweet or video or whatever it might be, you know, just saying their piece about Kobe Bryant and what he meant to them and to basketball. And we haven't heard anything from LeBron James yet. And in terms of the way that I perceive that and I take that is that this is hitting LeBron harder than maybe people had ever really thought that it would, because we had this narrative through respective careers when they would go up and battle against each other that they were these rivals. And competitively, maybe they were to a degree, but LeBron, every step of the way, has shown the utmost respect for what Kobe was able to do for his basketball career and, you know, what shaped him and kind of helped bring him up through the league and what he meant to him, not only as, you know, a friend, a competitor, and all the like, but, you know, a mentor as well. So, you know, and obviously their connection as LeBron's been in L.A. as well. It's Kobe is the influence for the generation that we're watching today, and guys like Luka and Giannis, basketball that's spread across the world and around the globe. Kobe had a huge hand in that, so you're absolutely right.
There's another part, too. With Kobe, obviously, got in the league Look, it took a little bit. It was really about, I'd say, his third year he kicked it into gear. They won the three championships. Everyone knows about, obviously, what happened with Colorado. He was angry for a period of time. But I felt he went from, hey, they've won, we love him, to me over the last 15 years, while being that tough-as-nails guy on the floor all the time, but the public persona softened and he became beloved. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely fair. And listen, it would be irresponsible for us to, you know, try to have the scope of Kobe's entire life and his career without making the mention of what you did in Colorado. I mean, it happened, it took place, what have you, you know, everything that goes along with that. But Kobe Bryant has had a spotless life, you know, in the spotlight before and after that moment in terms of, you know, 41 years of being, you know, an incredible family man. We saw the last couple of years after, you know, his retirement and what basketball meant to him, so much so that he perked up at the joy of being able to share that with his daughter, Gianna, who, you know, unfortunately was with him in the tragic accident. But any time he had the opportunity to talk about basketball when it pertained to her and how much she enjoyed the game and how much he enjoyed sharing the game with her, like, you saw what Kobe Bryant's legacy as a man actually was in those moments, because it goes way beyond, you know, basketball at that point in time. Of course, the accolades, the championships, the two rings that he got, you know, post Shaquille O'Neal, when Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom were his running mates in L.A., all of that is great. The Olympic medal is fantastic. Like, we know the type of player that Kobe Bryant was. But the side that we got to see of him these last few years when it pertained to his daughters and his family and sharing the love that he had of basketball with them and their enjoyment with it as well, to me at least, was, you know, the overarching theme of what Kobe Bryant's legacy he left behind in this world that goes way beyond basketball.
And not only that, but, I mean, he was building a business empire. I mean, his short film, Dear Basketball, won the Academy Award, but that wasn't the only thing he was doing. I mean, he was traveling back and forth to his Mamba Sports Complex. Well, he was doing that in Southern California as well.
Yeah, and he was influential in so many different areas of life. Like, it really, people talk about his Mamba mentality and, you know, this theme that he lived by in life, and, you know, we know the stories of his work ethic and how legendary it was. He was never going to be the guy that was outworked in the sport of basketball, and he took that fire, the work ethic, like who he was, because it was ingrained in him as a person, and he let that show in every facet of life. So you're absolutely right. I mean, he's building it, you know, a business empire. He won an Academy Award, like you said. Like, anything he touched seemed to turn to gold, because at the end of the day, he knew the work that needed to be put in. And everybody knows, you know, with a lot of things to be successful in life, they know the work that they have to do to reach those certain points. But a lot of people fall short in really putting the time and the effort into doing that to be that successful. And that was not Kobe Bryant. I mean, he knew exactly what needed to be done, and he would do it at all costs. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's an incredible legacy, and part of his life that he leaves behind is that passion, that fire, and that work ethic.
And, of course, we also cannot forget the other victims. Obviously, Kobe's daughter in this, the Altobelli family. John, of course, had been a baseball coach, coached in the Cape Cod League, okay, his wife, daughter, and then there was another mother-daughter combination, Sarah and Peyton Chester, they were on this as well. So we can't forget any of that, because their families and their friends are going through just as much pain as the Bryants.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And,
it's truly, truly tragic.
He traveled by helicopter, though, all the time. This was not unusual. I mean, I'm talking practices and games. He would go to the Staples Center in a helicopter. So this was always his limousine.
Yeah, and it's the most heartbreaking thing. I truly don't even know how to put it into words somehow, is that Kobe Bryant made the active decision during his playing career to travel to and from practice and games, you know, by helicopter, because he kept getting caught in LA traffic. And anybody that's been to Los Angeles knows the nightmare that it is to drive anywhere in the city. he kept getting caught in traffic and missing events in his children's lives. And he said this in an interview, whether it be, you know, a dance recital or a practice or a game or just picking them up from school. He was missing those small moments that he cherished so much, and he only got, you know, very few of during a playing career that's very, you know, taxing, and obviously you have to be on the road a lot for road trips, and it's very demanding, rather. Kobe Bryant made the active decision to start traveling by helicopter so that he could be in those moments in his kids' lives more often. And, you know, the conversation that we've been having this entire time, that just is another example. It speaks to the character and the type of father that he was.
Well, obviously this will dominate the week, but the interesting part is that then next week it's going to dominate again, because along with Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan, I don't think there's any doubt that Kobe Bryant was going to be announced in Chicago as a Hall of Famer this year. It's his first year of eligibility.
Yeah, and it's, again, like you said, it's going to dominate the conversation for the next 2 weeks for those exact reasons, but as it should. I mean, this shouldn't be something that we let, you know, get washed out in one news cycle or something. Like, we need to, you know, continuously honor and remember the impact that Kobe Bryant had on the sport of basketball and his family and people around the world. And, you know, it's a shame that we're not going to be able to witness or hear Kobe Bryant's Hall of Fame induction speech, because I'm sure it would have been something for the ages. So I personally would love to see them in that moment. If they're not going to decide to let people speak on his behalf, just play that short film, Dear Basketball, that obviously won him that Academy Award, because I think that entirely encompasses what the sport meant to Kobe Bryant, throughout his life, and then obviously into retirement as well.
Dennis, finally, before I let you go, everyone wants to leave behind, no matter what, some sort of rich legacy if they can. You know, not everybody can do it, but even if it's to one person in a family or a friend, everybody has the chance to leave behind a rich legacy. When you look at Kobe Bryant, who obviously reached many, many more people, how in the end do you put together what his legacy is going to be?
Personally, and you know, I touched on this a bit in our conversation, I think his legendary dedication to not just basketball, not just his family, not just his endeavors off the court, his dedication to just being great, his understanding of what he wanted to accomplish in his life, no matter what it was. It didn't have to be sports. It didn't have to be, you know, business, short film, being the best father that he could be. He recognized in those moments what he wanted to accomplish, how great he needed to be in those situations, and he put in all the work every step of the way, didn't cut any corners in order to achieve those goals. And I think that's, you know, not everybody can be an NBA superstar, but everybody can have and be able to follow the example of work ethic and being able to get done what you need to get done so that you feel you're most successful at the end of the day. And that's something that Kobe Bryant left behind that's attainable for everybody that watched him, everybody that was a fan, everybody that enjoyed sports, or everybody that just, you know, was aware of who he was and what he accomplished.
Yeah, it's interesting. I told the story earlier, but it's worth repeating. In 2000 and 2004, he was not a part of the Olympic team. And in 2004 in Athens, it didn't go well with the young guys getting in there. Carmelo right. Anthony, this was LeBron's first Olympics. And I remember in 2008, right around this time of the year, I was on some show and somebody asked me about the Olympics. I said, no matter what they do in the Olympics, Kobe Bryant must play. They need his leadership. They need his grit, his determination, and his shot-making ability, by the way. Well, Bryant accepts the Olympic thing and goes, and he said one of the great benefits of playing in the Olympics was not just representing your country, he says, but in practice I was able to find out some of the subtle weaknesses of some of my opponents.
Yeah, that was Kobe Bryant, always trying to gain an edge, always trying to be, you know, that fierce competitor. And that's a great story, and it's, you know, worth remembering that they would not have won the gold medal in 2008 without Kobe Bryant. He scored 13 points, in the final 8 minutes of the game to help them eke out a victory against a very good Spain team that year. So They absolutely needed him in 2008 to get back to the pinnacle of what USA basketball was, and just another thing to add to the mantle for Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely. Dennis, thanks so much. During a tough time, we appreciate the time you gave us very much. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Dennis Chambers from CBS Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi, 13 years of age, were on that flight yesterday. Also, John Altobelli, the 27-year head coach at Orange Coast College in baseball. He also coached in the Cape Cod League with the Brewster Whitecaps, and among those was John McNeil with the New York Mets, who played for him and thought the world of him. John Altobelli's wife, Carrie, was on board the helicopter, and their daughter, Alyssa, also 13, who played on the same club team as Gigi Bryant. Also, Christina Mauser, top assistant for the Mamba girls basketball team, who led clinics for WNBA players at the Mamba Sports Academy. Up until about a year and a half ago, Mauser worked at Harbor Day School, where she and her husband coached the 8th grade girls basketball team to their first championship, and then started working at the Mamba Academy. Era Zabayan was the pilot. Zabayan was Bryant's private pilot. And they called Era Zabayan dedicated, caring instructor who wanted to help his students succeed. And they say he was an outstanding pilot. And then Sarah and Peyton Chester, mother and daughter. Mother Sarah, daughter Peyton. Peyton was on the team. Also went to Harborview Elementary at one point in California. And the mother, Sarah Chester, and the daughter, Peyton Chester, were on that plane, or on that helicopter. Peyton's brother, Riley, shared a photo of his mom and his sister that paid tribute to the family, saying, "Rest in peace to the most amazing mother and sister. I love you, Pei-Pei, and Mom, rest in peace, two hearts." So those are the names. I just want to make sure we got all the names out there, because the world mourns Kobe Bryant and Gianna. But also, the Mauser family and their friends are in the depth of mourning. The Zabayan family is in a depth of mourning. The Chester family and friends are in a depth of mourning as well. And the Altobellis, you know, are in a depth of mourning. In other words, there are two other children, a daughter and a son. The son, by the way, is a scout in the Red Sox organization. Well, now they've lost a sister and both parents. I mean, so I just want to make sure that all the victims in this, who have their own sets of loved ones, their own set of friends, their own sets of family, that they're recognized as well, because all of them leave behind their own special legacies too. Obviously, the worldwide impact of Kobe Bryant, he was beloved around the world. Europe, China, beloved. And you do that because you show everybody what your work ethic is. And then in the latter, like the last 15 years of his life, he showed his soft side. You know, people, he really hasn't gone to a lot of Laker games, had not been. And Gigi got him to go to some games. Wow. He's already loved by Laker fans anywhere, anyway. But he leaves this world beloved.